Dr. Christian Duffy.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new prize play called Jerry to Live by Ruth Cornwall Whitman of Rye, New York, starring Claude Rains in the role of Dr. Alexander Webb, who has temporarily taken over Dr. Christian's practice, and Helen Clare in the role of Judy Price. What is this dry scalp I hear so much about? That's what a lot of men ask. Well, it's just about one of the commonest troubles that men have. It means dry, lifeless hair that's hard to comb, loose, flaky dandruff, that tight, itchy feeling. And here's a reminder. Hot summer sun, wind, and water will soon be aggravating all three. Be wise. Check dry scalp now. Use Vaseline Hair Tonic. Just 5 drops a day keep dry scalp away. And that's why there are more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic sold today than any other hair tonic in the world. Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp. Supplements natural scalp oils. It leaves your scalp feeling better. Makes your hair alive looking, yet easy to manage. Use Vaseline Hair Tonic also before shampooing with massage to help loosen dandruff. Vaseline Hair Tonic contains no alcohol or any other drying ingredients. Get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. This is the 13th day of June, 1945, and tonight is the night that the winner of the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award was scheduled to be announced. But because our star, Jean Hersholt, is in Europe on a special mission and cannot be with us, the announcement of the award winner has been postponed until Jean Hersholt's return at the end of this month. Meanwhile, we invite you to hear the famous motion picture star, Claude Rains, as Dr. Alexander Webb in tonight's prize play, Jerry to Live. And you'll know more about this strange title as the play progresses. It begins on a Friday afternoon in River's End. Dr. Webb has made his afternoon's rounds and is just walking in the door of Dr. Christian's office.
Well, Judy, hard at it? What are the bills?
Yes, I've made up my mind to try to collect some of the money owing to Dr. Christian. How'd your day go, Doctor?
Well, as well as can be expected, I guess. Jerry puts his sacroiliac got right back into place when I appeared on the scene. Oh, Miss Mead refused to take my white pills because she said Dr. Christian always gave up pink ones. And Lily Elaine Gresham collapsed on her chaise long when I suggested she give up chocolates for the duration.
Those are some of the ones who impose on Dr. Christian and don't pay their bills.
Yeah. I don't suppose there are any calls for me, whether just for Dr. Alexander Webb.
Oh, of course. What am I thinking of? Your young friend Joyce Kirby called. Oh, that's probably Joyce now. I told her you'd be in about now. Dr. Christian's office. Oh, yes, Joyce. Yes, he is. Just a moment. Doctor?
Hello, Joyce. Yeah. What? He is? When did he arrive? Well, that's wonderful. I know how happy and relieved you must be. Yeah, that's a fine idea. Give everybody a chance to welcome him home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll drop in a few minutes. Goodbye, Joyce. Hap Osgood's home from the Philippines.
I gathered that was it.
Just landed this afternoon in an army plane.
Didn't drop by parachute? I'm surprised.
Why?
Well, Hap always likes to do the unusual.
Well, they're holding a reception for him tomorrow night at the community center. Inviting everyone.
Well, that'll be nice.
Joyce has asked me to serve on the committee and introduce him.
As if Hap Osgood needed any introducing after all that's been in the papers about him. Hap Osgood, young war correspondent, ventures beyond front lines and is made prisoner by death. Hap Osgood escapes Nipponese captors, flees into hills. Hap Osgood rescued by Yanks.
You don't like Hap Osgood?
Oh, Hap's all right, only... Well, I feel he does play himself up a bit too much.
Well, his stuff's mighty interesting.
But how so many things can happen to one person?
Well, it's been like that all his life, even as a small boy here. That's how he got his nickname. Well, if there are any calls for me in the next half hour, Judy, you can reach me at the Kirby's.
How about that?
Oh, I love that. morning, you look as if...
Oh, Judy, I'm so happy I'm practically delirious.
Where's the lion?
Hap? Over there where the crowd is thickest.
Oh,
Judy, you should hear his story.
I probably will.
You know, for months he lived in a hut with a bunch of natives in the most awful squalor, eating nothing but leaves and grass and strange fruit and root and berries and ants and everything. He lost pounds.
I can see from here he's terribly thin.
Oh, he's been half starved, but he's making up for it now. For breakfast this morning, what do you think he ate?
What?
6 scrambled eggs, 1/2 pound of bacon, a whole pan of popovers drenched in butter, but real butter.
Oh.
Coffee with thick cream that I wangled from a farmer.
Don't. I can't bear it.
Well, you'd better get on the line, Judy, if you want to speak to him. People are still crowding in.
I will. See you later, Joy.
Hey, Judy, how about that man?
Oh,
thank you, Mrs. Powell. Good to be back. Yes, indeed. Good night, sir. Glad to have seen you again.
Yes, someone I'm sure I won't have to introduce you to, Hap.
Judy!
Hello, Hap.
Judy Price. Or is it Judy something else now?
No, still the same old Price.
And still a high ceiling on it, I'll bet.
Oh. How are you, Hap?
Oh, glad to be alive, thank you, and back in the USA. I've promised my publishers I'd turn out a book for them in the next month.
A book in a month? Hmm? Listen to the man.
We will be listening to him, Judy. Broadcasting next week from New York.
Really?
Yes, I just had a wire today asking me if I'd appear as guest speaker on that program Behind the Headlines.
Oh, how exciting.
It'll be rather fun, I think, though I really prefer an audience I can see.
You'll have plenty of those, too, Hap.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm holding up the line. I better be moving on, give somebody else a chance. I hope you'll find time to get married, Hap, in between all these other assignments.
Well, Joyce has set the date early next week and is going with me to New York.
Mr. Osgood.
Huh?
You remember Miss Clum, don't you, Hap, our librarian?
Miss Clum, of course.
Oh, my dear boy, it's just too wonderful to shake hands with you.
Morning, Judy.
Good morning, Dr. Webb. Well, quite a party, wasn't it?
As Hap himself expressed it. A Jaguar. A Brunhilde.
Hap hasn't changed a bit.
You don't think so?
Oh, of course, he's lost a lot of weight.
Terrific lot.
But he'll soon gain that back again at the rate he's being wined and dined.
Yeah. I think he looks quite badly. His color's poor. He's highly nervous.
Well, I don't suppose that's surprising, considering what he's been through.
No. By the way, Judy, make a note of the date for his broadcasting, will you? I don't want to miss it.
Oh, somebody paging you, Doctor. Dr. Christian's office? Yes? Oh, hello, Joyce. Yes, he is. Just a minute. Joyce Kirby. She sounds rather upset.
Hello? Good morning, Joyce. Hap? No, he's not here. I haven't seen him since the party. Saturday night. That's odd. You called the hotel, of course. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know. I see. Well, why don't you try the newspaper office? He might have gone there to do some work and, Oh, you have.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't tell you anything either. Well, now, don't worry, Joyce. He'll turn up with a good excuse. You know, Hap. Meanwhile, if I run across him, I'll give him a piece of my mind for standing you up like that. All right, Joyce. Goodbye.
What's happened?
Hap's missing.
Missing in River's End?
Well, he had a date with Joyce yesterday afternoon and never showed up. She's heard nothing from him.
How strange.
It is. Desk clerk at the hotel saw him go out around noon. Hasn't been back since.
Well, did he take a bag with him?
Nope. Things are still there.
Do you suppose he's met with an accident?
Well, I'd have been the first to hear of it if he had.
Yes, of course. Unless
what?
There are some deadfalls here in River's End, aren't there?
Yes, there are, and I'm going to investigate them right away, just to make sure.
Hap Osgood, the newspaper fella? Enough, he ain't been in here, Doctor. I wish he had. I'd have set up prints in the house. What a guy.
Western Union. Message for Dr. Alexander Webb.
Last word from Osgood was wire, dated March 24th, confirming broadcast appearance. We'll let you know if he turns up here. Signed, Continental Broadcasting Company.
I'd have known if he bought a railroad ticket, Doctor. I've been on duty here at the depot regular.
We aren't renting out cars anymore, Doc, on account of the gas shortage. So even if he applied for one, which he didn't, why...
And he hasn't a car of his own. So if he's left town, he must have gone on foot.
Or disguised himself so no one would recognize him.
Why would he do that?
Why would he disappear at all?
I wish to heaven I knew, Judy.
Dr. Webb, don't you think the FBI ought to be notified? This is Wednesday. It's 3 days since anyone's laid eyes on him.
If it were anybody but Hap Osgood, I would, but knowing his love for the sensational...
You don't mean you think this may be just a publicity stunt?
No, I don't. There'd be no point to it.
Poor Joyce is almost out of her mind. She's sure he's met with foul play.
I'll take it. Dr. Webb speaking. Oh, yes. Good morning, Miss Clum. Yes, we are. You did? He was? When? When was this? Yes, yes. Yes, I'll be right over.
News?
That was Bessie Clum, librarian. She says... Hap Osgood was in the library on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I found him waiting here on the doorstep when I arrived.
How long was he here?
Well, not more than 15 minutes. He walked in straight over to where we keep the encyclopedias and began looking something up.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I knew, I looked up from my desk, and there he was going out without much as a thank you or a goodbye.
Doesn't sound like Hap.
Well, the way he talked, I feel sure he wasn't quite himself. He was quite unsteady, and when he reached the door, he had to fumble to find the knob.
It was around 3:30.
Well, 3:45.
Uh-huh. You don't know what he was looking up in the encyclopedia?
No, but I can tell you what volume it was in, because he didn't put it back on the shelf. It was Jerry to Live.
Jerry to Live?
You know how they index the volumes alphabetically.
Yes, yes.
Well, this was the one that begins with J-E-R-E and ends up with L-I-B-E.
Jerry to Live.
I don't suppose it'll help you any, but...
Well, it may. Maybe just the clue we need. Thank you, Mrs. Clum.
There are almost 1,000 pages in that volume, Dr. Webb.
I still have a feeling that if we knew what he was reading up on, it might provide a clue.
Well, shall we start at the beginning? Jericho, Yaritza, Jersey City, Jerusalem.
No. It's getting late, Judy. You run along home and get some sleep.
Good evening.
Good evening. Why, you're one of the Cantrell boys, aren't you?
Yes'm. I'm Walt.
Well, come in.
Yes'm. I have a message for the new doctor.
I'm the doctor. What is it?
Well, he says tell the doctor to come.
Who said so? Come where?
To the old shack at the stone quarry.
Oh, that's been abandoned for years. No one there now?
He's there.
Who?
A man who gave me the message.
What's his name?
I don't know.
What does he look like?
I only saw him in the dark. But he talks fast, kind of jerky-like. And he says send the new doctor here.
Dr. Webb, do you suppose...
Must be. Couldn't be anybody else. I'll be right with you, my friend. Just let me get my coat and hat and, my case.
And your nurse. You will let me go, too, won't you, Dr. Webb? He may be hurt or badly off, and you'll need some help.
All right, come along, Judy. This is where you turn off the quarry, isn't it?
Uh-huh. The shack's just up that lane a piece. You drop me here.
You mean you aren't coming the rest of the way with us?
Nope. I'll get out here.
Just As you say.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night, Walt.
Hang on. This road's pretty bad.
Is that the shack up ahead?
Must be.
I don't see a sign of a light in it.
No.
You don't suppose this is all a wild goose chase, do you, Dr. Webb?
Well, we'll soon find out.
You want to wait here in the car?
I do not. I'm coming right with you. It looks completely deserted. I hear footsteps inside. Someone's coming.
Who's there?
Dr. Webb. Alexander Webb.
Dr. Webb.
Hap, in heaven's name, what are you doing here?
Dr. Webb. Judy.
Oh, Hap, we've all been so worried about
you. No, don't come in, Judy. You mustn't come in. You better not come too close yourself, Doctor.
What's the matter, Hap? You got smallpox or something?
Worse than that, Dr. Webb. It's leprosy.
Leprosy?
Oh, good heavens.
I came here as soon as I found out. I went almost crazy trying to decide what to do. If I'd had a gun, I think I'd have finished myself rather than face... What's that?
No. Wait a minute, Hap. Take it easy. You say you've contracted leprosy. What makes you think so?
I've got all the symptoms. I know leprosy when I see it. I saw plenty of it out there on the islands among those native tribes. Have you ever seen anyone in the last stages of leprosy, Dr. Webb?
Leprosy is something we don't encounter very often in this country, Hap.
It's horrible. More horrible than anything you can imagine. Sometimes it takes years, but... Mine's not the slow kind, thank God. Not the way it's developed in just the past few days. I've sat here and watched it growing, spreading.
When were you first suspicious?
Sunday morning I woke up. My hands felt queer. I looked. There were the spots. Those horrible, unmistakable spots. If I'd only known before I reached home a day earlier even, so I wouldn't have gone among all those people, shaking hands with them. God knows how many I've passed it on to.
Well, leprosy isn't as infectious as all that happened. It isn't necessarily fatal. There are plenty of cases on record that have been cured, just like tuberculosis. Cured in a relatively short time, too. So if you have contracted it...
There's no if about it, Dr. Webb. I've got all the symptoms, I tell you. The dark, coppery red patches on hands and feet and face, about the size of a shilling, symmetrical in shape, that come with the attacks of fever and then fade only to appear again.
Where did you read all this?
I've seen leprosy, don't you understand, in the islands of the Pacific.
Uh-huh. And you've read about it in the encyclopedia.
Well...
Jerry to Live. J-E-R-E to L-I-B-E.
What?
Come on. Get in the car. You don't mind riding the back seat, dear Judy?
Of course not.
Take this lap robe and wrap it around you, Hap.
Dr. Webb...
You're coming back to River's End with me. Put your shirt on again now.
Here.
Don't you touch it, Judy.
Oh, it won't hurt her.
But, Doctor...
A lot of things have happened to you in your lifetime, Hap, but leprosy isn't one of them.
Dr. Webb, you mean I...
What you've got is nothing more nor less than a case of hives.
Hives?
Hives?
Just plain hives?
No, rather fancy ones. Induced by too much and too rich food after months of semi-starvation.
Dr. Webb...
Oh, it's not unusual. We've had other cases. Civilians back from several years in England. Some bad enough for the hospital.
Hives.
If you'd come to me in the first place, I could have told you.
Hives.
Saved you a lot of mental suffering.
Hives.
That's what doctors are for, you know.
I was afraid to come to you, Dr. Webb.
Afraid to hear the truth.
I guess so.
And so you decided to diagnose the case yourself. Went to the library and looked up leprosy in the encyclopedia.
Yes.
And with every word you read, you became more convinced you had it.
Well, I...
Now, don't you know that reading about a disease is one of the shortest ways of making yourself believe you got it?
But you'll have to admit the symptoms...
The symptoms of leprosy and hives aren't remotely alike. They only sounded so.
Oh, I should have had more sense, of course.
Well, you're not the only one, Hap. You'd be surprised the number of people who put off going to a doctor because of fear. And half the time... There's nothing to be afraid of.
I feel like a fool, Dr. Webb.
Yeah, and you itch like the devil.
Yes.
Well, I'll give you something to relieve it, unless you'd rather prescribe for yourself.
Oh, Dr. Webb, please.
Well, it'll take a while to clear up. Having let it go like this, you better cancel that radio appearance. And, you'd better postpone your wedding another week.
Joyce!
I was wondering when you remember her.
What time is it?
Just 1:01.
May I use your phone, Doctor?
Help yourself, right in the outer office.
Thank you.
June the 13th. And 1 week of Dr. Christian's absence is gone.
Yes, so it is.
Judy, how long has Dr. Christian been practicing in Rivers End?
Forever. Since before I was born.
Uh-huh. And in all that time, did he ever have a case of leprosy?
Mercy, no. Of course not.
Good. And Dr. Alexander Webb is one up on Dr. Christian.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play starring Claude Rains as Dr. Alexander Webb and Helen Clare as Judy Price. And now here is Judy with an important word for you.
I'm sure it's a comfort to us all to know that our wounded get such prompt, effective medical care. Yes, for instance, many burn casualties now result in astonishing recoveries because of the new treatment for battle burns followed by our medical corps. This treatment, the medical reports tell us, includes the surface application of petroleum jelly. And you probably have the world's leading brand, Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, in your medicine cabinet right now. This familiar product, so effective in helping to heal combat burns, is unsurpassed in the treatment of minor household burns. Whenever a member of your family suffers a minor burn, apply Vaseline Petroleum Jelly quickly and bandage firmly, but not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. But remember, there's just nothing better for minor household burns than Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Keep it on hand always. There are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity.
May I repeat an important message which I gave you at the beginning of the show tonight? It's this. Announcement of the winner of the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1945, which was to have been made tonight, has been postponed till the end of this month because of the temporary absence of our star, Gene Herschold, who is in Europe on a special mission. Meanwhile, let me give you the names of the committee of judges who are reviewing the scripts right now. The judges' committee is a particularly distinguished one this year. It includes first the popular motion picture and stage star, Claude Rains, now appearing on this program. Second, Cheryl Crawford, Broadway's famous woman producer, whose recent hits were One Touch of Venus, The Perfect Marriage, and The Tempest. And third, Burns Mantle, Dean of New York Drama Critics, whose recent book, 10 Best Plays, has just been published. Gene Herschold, who plays Dr. Christian, and Dorothy McCann, producer of this and other radio programs, complete the roster. Ladies, for soft, shining, glamorous hair, simply do this. Apply Vaseline Hair Tonic before shampooing with massage. Afterwards, like a brilliantine, get Vaseline Hair Tonic. We invite you to hear the Vaseline program again next week, presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play starring Claude Rains and Helen Clare. We hope also to hear from Gene Herschold, direct from Copenhagen, Denmark. And here's a message from your government urging everyone to avoid unnecessary travel at this critical period when millions of men and their equipment are being transferred from the European theater of war to the Pacific. Uncle Sam needs every bit of rolling stock right now. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.